dressed in beauty not my own. What a glorious thought that is. Stand before His throne, accepted totally in the Beloved, our blessed Savior Jesus Christ. Now turn back to the book of Acts chapter 8. I'm sure that many of you have heard a message from this chapter. We went through this book of Acts 10 years ago, and I brought a study from this chapter. But you know, the Word of God never wears out. It's always fresh and new. And as I studied this again and looked at this again, the Lord blessed me with a message for you from this 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, Philip, God's servant, had been called to preach the gospel to many in this city of Samaria. Notice Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Many in that city, I don't know how many people lived in that city, how many people heard the gospel and believed, but a good number did, because it says down in verse 8, there was great joy in that city. Philip was busy about the ministry of the gospel, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, God sent two apostles, Peter and John, down to this same city with this same message. Look down at verse 14. With this same message, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John. They're also to preach the gospel to this city of Samaria. And when they came, look at verse 25 of Acts 8. And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, the gospel, always about preaching Christ, they returned to Jerusalem. And while they did, they preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Philip was busy preaching. This city was rejoicing. There was a lot going on in that city. But God picks Philip up by special intervention somehow and sends him away from this city, away from this many, down into a desert country to preach to one man. One man. One man. Who is this man? Well, it says in the 27th verse, who is this man that God would dispatch, that God would think so much of this one man and set His heart and love on this one man that God would send him a gospel preacher? Who is this man? Well, it says in verse 27 that Philip arose and went, and behold, he beheld a man. This man's a sinner. This man's in need of salvation. He's from the country of Ethiopia. He's a eunuch. He has great authority in this country. He's a politician. He's a man with education, and he's working for someone that's the queen named Candace, who had charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. There's a lot revealed about who this man is and where he's from, what he did for his living. But I tell you more than that, God didn't send Philip down to this man because he was somebody among this world who maybe could influence somebody else. No doubt this man had influence in his home country. But I tell you who this one man is. He is a chosen sinner of God. God chose him in all eternity, and God set His heart on this one sheep to call him out with the gospel. I tell you who this man was. Who this man was, one for whom the Lord Jesus Christ came and died. He died for the ungodly. This is one of the sheep that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's who this man is. He's a black man. He's from Ethiopia. He's an important man. He has charge of all the treasure of this queen of this country. But more than that, he's one who will be given a new heart to believe the gospel and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. For he makes this profession in verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No man can say He's the Christ but by the Spirit of God. You see who this one man is? Chosen of God. One for whom the Lord Jesus Christ came and died. Sacrificed for His sin. One who's given a new heart to believe the gospel. One who gladly confesses the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. He commanded that chariot to stand still and said, "What hinders me from confessing my Lord in believer's baptism?" And think about this. Who is this man? He is one right now who is glorified with Christ in heaven. That's who this one man is. You see, he's a special man, isn't he? Special man, loved of God, chosen of God. What a glorious conversion story this is. But you know, this is the story of every one of God's elect who have heard the gospel and who have believed the gospel, who are called to Christ. They will hear, they will believe, they will confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and as it says in verse 39, he went on his way. He saw Philip no more, but he went on his way rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Isn't that the life story of every believer who's heard the gospel, who believes the gospel, who confesses Christ publicly? We go on our way rejoicing. Rejoicing in our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's my first point in this message. We see the sovereign providence of God ordered all the events in this one special meeting. One special meeting. You see, all things are of God, of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. Philip and the eunuch met together. Was it by chance? Was it an accident? No, they met together by the decree of God. Notice verse 26 in our text, Acts chapter 8. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto this desert land down in Gaza." God sent this man. This is no chance meeting. This was the ordained decree of God. And he rose and went, and behold, here's this man. Here's this man. And then in verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to the chariot." And verse 30, Philip ran and heard him read. You see, this was ordained of God. My friend, if you have heard the gospel of God's saving sovereign grace in Christ, it's no accident that you're here. It's no accident that I'm standing here telling you the truth. This was ordained and decreed of Almighty God. Secondly, the Lord had already created an interest in this man's heart. Now you think about this. Before Philip ever got there, God had already begun to plow the ground of his heart, of that stony heart. God was already working on this man. He created an interest in his heart, a hunger in his heart, to seek the truth. For it says in verse 27, this man went all the way from down south, the south part of the country in Ethiopia, and he traveled all the way to Jerusalem. Now this was a hard trip. He went all the way to Jerusalem to worship God. You see, God had already created an interest in this man. Most people think that this man was a Jewish proselyte. Wasn't a born Jew, but he was a converted Jew. And he went to Jerusalem to observe one of those feast days. Either Pentecost, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Day of Atonement. He was walking in what light God had given him. He went to worship God. Second thing I see about this man, you see, God's already working on this man. The second thing I see about this man, it says in verse 28, he was returning, sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, where did he get this copy of Scripture at? I don't have any clue. But I know this. He was interested in what was being said. What was written, he was interested in. Some of the old writers wondered how this man was sitting there reading this Hebrew text. And I thought about this. Maybe somebody had translated into that portion of Scripture in his language. And he had been to Jerusalem and someone handed him a tract and said, "Here, you need to read this." I tell you what, despise not the day of small things. Despise not the day of small things. Someone gave him a copy of the Scripture in his language that he could read, and when he returned home, he was sitting there reading that and meditating upon it. Something else I know about this man, he had a willingness to be taught. In verse 30 and verse 31, when Philip ran to him and asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" You know, this man was somebody important, this man. He could have said, "Well, who are you? You don't know who I am?" You see, this man had a willingness to learn. For it says in verse 31, "How can I accept some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him and teach him. He had a willingness to submit to the Word of God and to hear from God's servant. You know, this man had great understanding in economics. He had great understanding in politics. "Do you have any understanding of the gospel?" He says, "Nope, somebody needs to teach me." You see the submissive nature of this man's heart, bowing, willing to hear and to listen. May we never ever graduate above sitting at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and to hear a word from Him. To hear a word from Him. Had a willingness to be taught of God, to be led of God. This humility of heart, this is grace working in him before Philip ever got on the scene. You see that? You know what the old timers had a word for that? Grace before grace. They had a word for it, they called it prevenient grace. Preceding grace. And that's what's going on here. God was working on his heart, plowing the ground, and when Philip came with the gospel, with the seed, with the word of life, it was planted in that heart. And it brought forth fruit unto life. You see, that's the repetitive story of all those who have heard the gospel and believe the gospel. God works on the heart. And you see the providence of God in this. Philip and the eunuch, they met together by the decree of God. God created an interest in his heart. Thirdly, the Lord even ordained. Now you think about this. What's Philip going to preach that day? Where's he going to take from the text that day? God even arranged the text, the Scripture, that Philip would preach from that day. Isaiah 53. Look down here at verse 35. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this an amazing miracle of grace? The second point is this. The first point was this meeting was arranged of God. Secondly, the focus of all God-honoring preaching that God has ordained is the message of Jesus Christ. And that's what he says in verse 35. He came, Philip, and he opened his mouth, and when he did, he began at that very same word of God in Isaiah 53, and preached to him that this lamb that was led to the slaughter, in his humiliation, in his humanity, he was judged guilty by God, bearing our sin. This is the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. That's the message that he preached to the eunuch that day, was it not? Substitute, Jesus Christ. We need a substitute. Philip preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. You see, he preached unto him who he is. He's the only Savior. Remember back, turn back to chapter 4, verse 12. He preached unto him that the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all Scripture, that there is salvation in none other. Acts chapter 4. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved in Christ. He preached Christ as not a way. He preached the Lord Jesus Christ as the way, the Lamb, the truth, and the life. He not only preached and set forth who He is in His humility, the God-man, the mediator, God made flesh, but He declared unto Him what He accomplished, in His humiliation. In judgment, He was taken away. What He accomplished. Remember what we read in Isaiah 53? Wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. It pleased God to bruise Him on our behalf, to put away our sin. And with His stripes we are healed. He preached Christ unto him, who He is, what He accomplished, all of salvation. And I think also, not written here, but I think because of the whole message of the book of Acts, he preached Christ exalted and victorious. Because that's the message of all preaching through the book of Acts. This same Jesus whom you crucified is made both Lord and Christ. God raised Him up from the dead. He's a victorious Christ. This is the one that we rest in. So he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of God unto salvation. He preached to this man, Philip. And God gave him grace to hear it. And God gave him grace to believe it. My third point is this. Salvation is a heart work. Salvation is a heart work. Look at verse 36. As they went on their way, they came to certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water." Now you think about this. Where were they? They were in a desert land, a desert country, and here's water. I don't know. A miracle of grace. Here's water. Here's water. What doth hinder me? Now here's the question. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is a heart work. What He has done for us and what He is doing in us. It's of the Lord. Now, in verse 36, here's a good question. Here's a good question in verse 36. I want you to consider this and take it personally. What doth hinder you from confessing Christ in believer's baptism? That's a good question. What does hinder me from confessing Christ in baptism? Well, someone might think, well, my sins. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. Well, you might say, well, what does hinder me? Well, you know, my corruption, my vile nature. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save not the righteous, but the sinner. He came to call sinners unto repentance. We know that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. What doth hinder you from confessing Christ? Your sin? If you're a believer, Christ put away your sin. Your corruption? Your vile nature? He came to seek and save those who were lost and sinners. How about my past? Does your past hinder you? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. What does hinder you from being baptized? Well, what will others think? My friend, faith is not taken up with what others think. Faith is taken up with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's a good question. What doth hinder me? What would hinder you from confessing Christ in believer's baptism? Look at verse 37. Here's Philip's good answer. Here's a good answer. A good question with a good answer. Verse 37. Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart," if you believe with all your heart, these two words, "thou mayest," they literally mean, if you believe with all your heart, it's lawful, it's right, it's a command of God. It's a good answer. If you believe with all your heart, baptism is lawful, good, and right to follow Christ in baptism. Good, it's right, it's proper, it's the thing to do. We're commanded to believe the gospel and to confess it. Now here's a good confession. Look at verse 37 again. So a good question, a good answer, and here's a good confession. He said, and he answered and said, I believe. What did he believe? He believed the gospel. He believed what Philip preached that day about Jesus Christ. He is God, my Savior, who was wounded for me, bruised for me, and put away my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. You know, that's a miracle. That's a miracle of grace. We believe according to the working of God's mighty power. He declared that he truly, sincerely believed with the heart that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. He believed. Turn over here to 2 Timothy. Look at this. Who do we believe? We believe Him. We believe Christ. We believe the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy, verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It's God who saved us, 2 Timothy 1, 9, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded, saving faith is persuaded, that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I'm persuaded. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, the only begotten, well-beloved Son of the Lord, of God Almighty, the only begotten of God. I believe that Jesus, the Savior, He's the Christ, the one Son of God. That's a good confession. That's a good confession. How do we confess faith in Christ? How do you and I confess faith in Christ? Turn over here to Romans, book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. How do we confess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, with the heart. With the heart. Look here at Romans 10, verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith, Romans 10, 6, speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and believe in thy heart, that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do we confess Christ? With the heart. With the mouth. Thirdly, in identification with Christ in believer's baptism. Fourthly, by identifying with the gospel. By identifying with the gospel, where the gospel's preached. Assemble yourselves together with those and where the gospel is preached. How do we confess Christ? With the heart. With the mouth. By believer's baptism. By identifying with His gospel, with His people, and continuing in the faith. That's how we confess Christ. We're continually confessing Him as we walk in this life and live in this life as believers. Now turn back to the book of Acts again, chapter 8. Salvation is a heart work. He believed in his heart. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ? Here's my last point. And as I was looking for a word to use to describe baptism, look at verse 38 of Acts 8, verse 38. He commanded. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Baptism is for believers. And let me tell you, my friend, it's not an option. It's a command. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down to the water. Now find Matthew 28. Look at this here. Matthew 28. It's a commandment. It's a delight for the believer to confess his Lord in believer's baptism, his death, burial, and resurrection. Matthew 28, look at this here, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. What are we to teach them? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Teach all nations. Where are we to go? Everywhere. Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have... What's that word? Commanded you. You see, baptism, we're commanded to preach the gospel. And those who hear it and believe it with the heart, they're commanded to be obedient to their Lord. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Now, turn to one other scripture on that. Find Mark 16. Mark 16. Verse 15, he says this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Baptism for believers is a commandment of God. Now we know this. We know that baptism is not essential to salvation. Christ is our Savior. But it is essential to obedience unto the Lord. We know it does not put away sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We know it does not put us in Christ, but of Him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. We know it does not merit us salvation. Salvation by the free grace of God in Christ. However, it is the only biblical way to confess faith in Christ. And that's submitting to believers' baptism. Now, we're not baptized to be saved, to be justified, but we're baptized because we have been saved by God's grace. Now, you remember how we started in the book of Acts. Turn back to Acts chapter 2. And when they heard the gospel, they heard Peter preach that day at Pentecost. They heard the truth, they heard the word, they heard the gospel. God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ, verse 36. God, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This is God's Lamb that takes away the sin of God's people. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, pricked in their heart, and they said, unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Believe the gospel. Believe it and confess it. Peter said unto them, repent and confess Christ. Repent, same thing he's saying here, believe the gospel. If you believe with all your heart, repent, believe, and be baptized. Every one of you who heard it, who believe it, and do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. Because our sins have been remitted by Christ. It's not saying here that our sins are put away by our repentance or our baptism. They both look back to Jesus Christ as the only sacrifice for sin. For the remission of sins, and you shall receive this precious gift of the Spirit. For the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, do you believe the gospel? I'm asking you personally. Do you believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and with all your heart? Well, preacher, how can I know if I believe with all my heart? Now, let me ask you this question. Do you have any other hope before God but Jesus Christ alone? Well, no. Then what more can you ask for? That's believing with all your heart, is it not? If you have no other hope but Christ, that's what it is to believe with the heart. To believe with heart. Do you believe the gospel? Is Christ all your hope? If you do, and you have not yet confessed Christ in believer's baptism, I urge you to do so. What does hinder you? What does hinder you from confessing Christ in believer's baptism? Well, this man did. Look what it says here in verse 39. They went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. Baptism is by immersion. They went down and it buried him under that watery grave and brought him up. And it pictures the death, burial, and glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Philip went up to Caesarea preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this man, this believer, this eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. And Philip went on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, what a blessed way to live. He went on his way. You know, he went down to his house. Remember what our Lord said to that one man, go home to your friends and tell how great things the Lord had done for you. What do you reckon that man did when he got back to Ethiopia? He went back and he told his family and his friends and his queen, I've heard the gospel. Some of the old historians wrote about this man. It's not an inspired account, but some of the old Jewish historians said that this man, we don't even know his name, just this man. He was a believer in Christ. But he went back and he preached the gospel there in Ethiopia for many years. And many believed. You know, back in the early days of the early church, some of the strongest churches in the first centuries of Christianity were in northern Africa. You reckon that man had something to do with it? Preaching the gospel. God used that servant to go back to his brethren and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.